Next page.
The page, Pastor?
Next page, page two. Okay. The month of salvation. This is from Alexandra. In Nisan, we will be redeemed. In that sense, Nisan is also called Kadosh Yeshua. Why are they calling this month Kadosh Yeshua? Huh? It's the month of Yeshua. Okay? Now they spell it like Joshua because they don't have Yeshua in the Old Testament. But what did Joshua do? Cross them over the Jordan to the other side. This is what's happening right now. The month of salvation, both terms of physical deliverance from Egypt and more profoundly, its term of spiritual salvation given at Zion, okay, through the Messiah. Now, Egypt, the Jews come out of Egypt in Nisan. You understand? The deliverance of the Jews begins Nisan 1 because God calls Moses and says, this month is going to be the month, the first month of the year for you, Nisan. What does it mean? Your flight, okay? Because you're about to leave Egypt, okay? So Nisan, he tells them to come, and so now he changes the whole calendar from Nisan being the seventh month to Nisan now being the first month of the year, okay? So we need to know and understand that Nisan has a special thing because when Moses brought them out of Egypt, then Moses became what? The first leader of the nation of Israel. So now when they crown a king, when do they crown it? As a ceremony to Moses, who became their first leader. So now all of their kings are crowned on the 14th of Nisan. And we're invited to the crowning ceremony.
Wow.
So that's called, it's called Kadosh HaYeshua. Okay, they don't know what they're saying, but that Yeshua still means salvation. But it's called the month of salvation. Okay, now it's also called Kadosh Melechim, the month of the kings. Because what? You get crowned in the month of Nisan, right? Now, last week we talked about this. Suleiman the Magnificent and Jerusalem rebuilt, including the West Wall, which had been ruined since at least 135 AD. Also, it says the story goes that he gave a decree to rebuild the wall that was prompted by a divinely inspired dream he had. Suleiman, who did this, right? It says, whatever prompted the decree, we have archaeological evidence of it. The building inscription commemorating the rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem, Ottoman, from 1535 to 1538. So in 1538, the decree was given out to rebuild the wall, okay? Now, remember we talked about last week, a decree was given that said, let's go to Daniel so we can really look at it. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. And let's see, where do I want to? He will confirm a covenant with the many for 7 years. Okay, chapter 24. Know and understand this. From the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be seven sevens and 62 sevens. So that's what? 69 times 7. How much is that? 483. So he says, from the issuing of the decree till the Messiah comes, it will be 483 years. We saw last week that Nehemiah made the decree. And from the time he made the decree until Jesus Christ arrived in Jerusalem on 32 AD on the 10th of Nisan was exactly to the day, 483 years that he arrived in Jerusalem. So this prophecy has been fulfilled, okay? But now Suleiman does the same decree to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, okay? The first one happened not only around about the time, but they counted the exact day till he came into Jerusalem, 483 years, okay? Now, from the time of Suleiman, who did it in 1538, you count 483 years, and it just happens to land on the year 2021.
Just happened.
Now, see, these are some of the things why I say, if you don't believe in a rapture, with a world war in front of us and everything that's going on, and Israel being attacked right now, you just don't want to believe God, okay? But you need to know that something is about to happen.
Yes.
And the people of God are about to leave.
Yes.
And the door to the kingdom is still open.
Yes.
And people can still, I was talking to a lady today, and I was showing her a clip of Left Behind.
Oh, really?
I was like, check out this clip. She's like, oh my God, what is that? I said, like, that's the rapture. You know about the rapture? She said, me and some friends at work were talking about God was going to be coming soon. But it, I was like, that's what it is. He's coming for his people. So I'm trying to make sure that she's for Jesus and not for,
yeah.
She's not praying to statues and stuff, you know? But I need to let people know we are there.
Yeah.
The urgency is here. We are there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
So the Suleiman prophecy is this year, and it only has a few more days left, okay? We're gonna get into this because we have to talk about, these are common sense things that we need to know. Okay, let's talk about the first date setter. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Guy's a date setter. Is there a scripture? I'm going to find that scripture. There's got to be a scripture in here that says if you set a date, you have committed a horrible sin.
I'd like to see that scripture.
It doesn't exist?
No, sir.
You got to be kidding. But everybody quotes that.
Can you tell me that scripture?
Even watchers, they before they say anything about the rapture, they go, I'm not date setting, but this is what I think. But they say that as if I don't want to go to hell. But I'm about to tell you it might happen on a certain date. You know, as if that's a scripture. How did Satan get that into the church? Don't say a date or you've committed the unforgivable sin. So understand that's not in the Bible. But like I told you, their big thing is this is a subject I don't want in the church. So let's open churches so we can make sure that this subject is not talked about. You understand?
Yeah.
And you like John MacArthur. A guy said, he said, do you know John MacArthur is a third generation Freemason? I was like, yeah, I already knew that. I was like, he's a millionaire. He's a multimillionaire. He's a Freemason. He's been a Freemason for, and he says, and he's pastoring that big church there. I said, yeah, I know. I said, but that's what Freemasons do for Freemasons. I said, but isn't it John MacArthur, who's the same guy who came on TV and said, oh, by the way, if you get the mark during the tribulation, it doesn't stop your salvation. I was like, spoken like a Freemason.
Right.
So you got to understand, they appoint pastors, they make them millionaires, but their loyalty is to the oath that they took as a Freemason. You understand?
Yeah.
Okay. So are you in Matthew chapter 24? And we're going to begin. Okay, I'm going to read this scripture first. It says, "Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things happen." Now, when he said this generation, he was talking about a specific generation. And because you'll see after that, he'll start talking about the fig tree. So let's start in verse 30, okay? Let's start in verse 30. And it says, at that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud of the sky with power and great glory. You hear that? So he just told them, he just finished out, when will the end be? And what will it be? What will happen? Okay? So he's telling them, there's going to be a World War I, there's going to be World War II, there's going to be a tribulation. Israel's going to have to flee for his life in the middle of the tribulation. And then says, then after the tribulation of those times, he says, you will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud. And he says, he will gather the elect, which is the nation of Israel. The elect are the chosen ones. He will gather them, okay? He will gather them when he comes on the cloud. You understand? So the end of the whole matter, he's saying, is when he comes on the cloud. When he comes on the cloud, let's finish reading so you'll see what he's talking about. Okay. It says, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. Now, learn the lesson of the fig tree, okay? Now, when he says now, that's a Greek word that says now, this is a different subject, okay? Because he just told you when it's going to all end. When is it going to end? When Jesus comes on a cloud. When he comes on the cloud, that's the end of the fig tree generation. Okay? And we need to know that. Okay? Now watch this. Now learn the lesson of the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth. This generation, what generation? The fig tree generation. This generation will, from its nativity, the birth of Israel back into the planet, from its nativity, will certainly not pass away until all these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. My goodness. How far was I supposed to read, Lord? To 42. Okay. He says, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, only the Father. Oh, I was hoping not to have to do this, but now I have to. Okay. Oh my, did I put it in there, Pastor? Then? It's just three pages. It's just three?
I'm sorry, four.
It's four?
Yeah, it's four.
And I have the reference to the wedding. Oh, here it is, right here. Okay, we're on page, I can't tell what that is. Is that five? Is that five, or it looks like a little backward C? Okay, yeah, go to page three. Because I want you guys to know this, okay? Because people be... Every time you talk to him. Okay. No one knows the day or the hour, only the Father. That's what the scripture says, right? Mm-hmm. Why is he saying, okay, now if I say this, right? And Jesus got so angry, he hit the ceiling. What would you think? You would know that that's a term.
Right.
It just means he got really mad, right?
Right.
You wouldn't go, Jesus must have been really tall. Because it said he was so tall, he just hit the ceiling. He must have been really tall. If you didn't know that, that's just a saying that people use, right? No one knows the day or the hour is a Jewish idiom, okay? It's a word that they use that for a new month coming, for a rush, for Rosh Hashanah, but for every 12 months of the year, something happens with the moon, okay? The moon disappears. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
Every month, it goes through a cycle, then it disappears, then it reappears as a thin layer, and by that new moon, the Jews know that the new month has started. They can start their new month. You see that? So no one knows the day or the hour. All these are Jews standing around Jesus. So he's saying, oh, it's going to be the beginning of a new month. Then he says, and no one knows, he says, no one knows the day or the hour, not even my Father. He says, only my Father, right? Only my Father is a tradition that simply means, it says, no one knows the day or the hour. Is a Hebrew idiom referring to appearing of the new moon. When the old moon wanes until nothing is left, the new moon appears anywhere from 1 day or 1.5 to 3.5 days after. So they've had it where the moon disappeared and didn't appear till like 3 days later. And you know what? They can't start their month until the new moon appears, because they're on a moon cycle, okay? So when you say no one knows the day or the hour, you're talking about Rosh Hashanah or a new month that's coming. And so what we're coming into right now is a new month, okay? Nisan is going to be a new month. Do we really absolutely 100% know that Nisan first is going to land on April 2nd? What if the moon doesn't appear? Then it's not that, then it can't be that day. So when it gets to the end of Adar, the moon's going to disappear, then everyone's going to be looking for the new moon, because the moon is a bride to the sun, and she must disappear from the sight of the earth, then reappear in the sky, then the new month starts. You understand? And that's how Nisan will start. But if you don't know these things, you go, no one knows the day or the hour. No one knows the day or the hour. And then Jesus says, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. It's going to be this, it's going to be that, and it's going to be this, and then this is going to happen. And it's like, wait a minute. If no one knows the day or the hour, he sure did kind of dead state there. You know what I mean? He set a date there, right? Because he said for the birth of Israel, that generation will not pass until all these things happen. So he's like, you have to kind of know the time and season that you're in. Okay. Let me read the next one there that it says. Okay, here it is. Reference to, this is on page 4 at the top. Reference to a traditional Jewish wedding. The Jewish custom is that once everything is agreed upon and a rough date is set for the wedding, only the bridegroom's father will make the final date or the call, okay? So when you say no one knows but my Father, they're saying this is going to be about a wedding that's going to happen at the beginning of a new moon. Listen, this is about a wedding that's going to happen, but it's going to happen when there's a new moon. You understand? So it just happens to be that April 2nd is supposed to be Nisan first and start a new moon, right? So all of this stuff is playing into factors, because God is giving us layers and layers and layers of proof, okay? I might have to go back to the page that I was on.
Page 3?
Yes. Okay. Did I finish reading the thing to 42? Here we go. It says, no one knows about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, the other one left. Now, you know, they used to teach The ones that are taken are going to be destroyed. But we crush that. Okay, so they can't even teach that lie, because now you got to look at paralambano, which means taken to be a friend or a companion, or aphame, which means to divorce. So taken or left are specific words God has used to let you know the ones being taken are going or leaving to be a friend or companion of God. It says, that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two will be in the field, one will be taken, the other one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, the other one left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know what day your Lord will come. You do not know what day your Lord will come. You don't know the day, and you don't know the hour, okay? Because if you say Tuesday, it's already Wednesday somewhere else. All right? Okay. Now, okay. Go back to Daniel chapter 24. I want you to, no. Stay on this page. What page is this, Pastor?
Page 3.
Page 3. Let's watch this. Let's read this. I want you guys to understand this, okay? Watch this, okay? It says, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, 770s have been determined for your people and for your holy city. To finish the transgression, that's one. To make an end of sin, that's two. To make a reconciliation for iniquity, three. To bring an everlasting righteousness, four. To seal up the vision of the prophecy, five. And to anoint the most holy, six. So when the 70th week of Daniel is over, when he confirms a covenant, okay? When he confirms a covenant, that covenant will be for 7 years, and it will last all the way until he does what? Until he returns on a cloud? Or what? See, this is what I don't want you guys to understand. Him returning on the cloud is not the end of the 70th week of Daniel. You understand? Him returning on the cloud is the end of the fig tree generation.
Right.
When he goes into the temple, and the temple is the Kadosh Kadoshim, when the Holy of Holies is anointed by the presence of God, then the 70th week will be over. So don't try to say, oh, it has to happen here because it's 2028 would not be enough days, because 2028 won't be enough days, so we need... So it was going to be 2029, and you don't go into all that, because even in another scripture, the Lord even says, I'm going to, those days will be shortened.
Yeah.
You understand? He says, if those days had not been shortened, no one would survive. So Jesus comes back, and he shortens those days when he comes back. But the 70th week of Daniel is not over with until when? Till he goes into the temple and anoints the Holy of Holies. Now, when he comes back, the temple is destroyed. So he says, I will rebuild David's fallen tabernacle.
Yeah.
So he's not going to rebuild the tabernacle on the exact same day that he returns.
Right.
But it will be rebuilt. And when he goes into the temple, then the 70th week will be over. So Jesus coming on a cloud, we're talking about the end of the prophecy of the fig tree generation. We're not talking about the 70th week. So if you go over a year and you're saying 2029, that's for the 70th week, not for the end of the fig tree generation.
Amen.
I hope you guys can understand that, because people think the numbers just aren't working out. They're not supposed to work out. It's not your plan.
Right.
You don't know how many days he's going to cut it short, right?
True.
But he says, if I didn't cut it short, people would not survive. So you don't know how he's going to cut it short, but you do know that the 70th week of Daniel won't be complete until the temple is rebuilt and Jesus walks into that temple. And so don't get caught up on, oh, if it happens in 2021, there's not enough time for 7 years, and if, you know, we're short a year. Forget all that. That's not your business. This is God's plan. He'll come back when he's going to come back. And then, but you do know that the end of it is when he enters into the temple. And it's called the Kadosh Kadoshim. And I wanted you guys to know this, because the Kadosh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies, it says, What was the Holy of Holies in the temple? The Holy of Holies was located in the westernmost end of the temple, being a perfect cube, 20 cubits by 20 cubits by 20 cubits. And it says inside was total darkness and contained the Ark of the Covenant. Gilded inside and out, and in which was placed the tablets of the covenant. So the Holy of Holies is where the presence of God goes in and dwells. When Moses finished building the tabernacle, guess what happened? He saw the Spirit of God come and go inside of the tabernacle and resided inside of the Holy of Holies. You understand? Jesus is going to do the same thing that Moses did. So once the Spirit enters the tabernacle, the temple, then the 70th week of Daniel will be over with. Okay, let's go now to page 4. Okay. So I did the gematria for 68, 68, 68, and it was 204, right? So the word harpazo, which means rapture, is 204. So you got three world wars. The numerical value of each of the world wars just happens to be 68. Now, if God is the one who knew when the first one was going to start, you think you don't know when the second and the last one are going to be? And who is the one that's always playing with numbers and they have to be exact? God. So they're like, oh, all the world wars that happen are going to be 68. Why 68? Oh, 68, 68, 68 is 204. And that's the word for rapture, which is harpazo. So I want you to know when that third war happens, okay, that look for the rapture, okay? So so someone sent it to me and they said, oh no, rapture is, numerical value is 726. Strong's Concordance word number 726 is rapture. Does that mean that that's the gematria of rapture? No, that's the number of the word that Strong put into the book. You're wrong. It's 726, rapture 726. No, that's the number of the first word is this, the second word is this. The 726th word is rapture. Its numerical value is going to be 204. But in the Bible, you have two different numerical values for rapture. One is 204 and the other one is 989. They're spelled, if you look at it, they're spelled a little differently, okay? But if you go to John chapter 13, verse 9, and pulled up the Greek, you would see it says harpazo. And then if you went to Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, and you say he was caught away, you would pull up the word and it would say harpazo. And you're like, wow, they're spelled different. And it says one is numerical value 204 and the other one is 989. Now, I'm going to show you what God showed me so I can maybe give you an idea of what's going on. How did Moses and the Hebrews leave Egypt? What is 9 meant for? What is the numerical value for 9?
Judgment.
So you got judgment on this side, and you got judgment on this side. What does 8 stand for?
Life.
New life. You got life in the middle. Okay? So it's like you're passing through judgment to life. God gave this word to be harpazo, because you're passing through judgment to enter into life. You understand? So I said, okay, well, why is it two? Why do you have two different numerical values? 204 said, what month is April? 4th. What day are we looking at? 02. Oh, okay. So I'm like, nah, you wouldn't do that. So the Lord says, well, okay, then, if you don't think I would do that, when was the eclipse?
December 4th.
From December 4th to April 2nd is how many days?
120 days.
What day was it when the people were, when the flood started on at the end of 120? God can't do it at the end of 120 years. We had the 120th year was 2020. So I'm like, Lord, how are you going to fulfill that 120? Oh, don't worry, I got it. Before the end of time, there will be blood moons and all these signs in the sky. And he says, and then the terrible day of the Lord will come. So we have the blood moon, then the eclipse, and then the eclipse happens on the 4th of December, and you count from the 4th of December to April 2nd, it's 120 days. Seems like a perfect time for Nisan, which happens to mean what? Their flight. So I'm like, okay, Lord, this is a little bit too much. Tell me, why would I, because Deuteronomy hasn't been messed with. He says, why would I put the rebirth of the nation of Israel in the 57th 08 of the verse, but then 1967 I put that they're going to win back Jerusalem on that day, and then so why would then I put on the date that's for 2021 say if only they knew it was their latter end? Why would I put it on the exact date that says 2021? Okay, just think about that. Okay, so now okay, so if 1948 was happened in the year 1948, then as you go forward in the numbers, when you get to the 2000th year, you're going to be at 100. So when you get to 2020, it's going to be the 120th of Psalms. When you get to 121, what is it going to be? It's going to be 2021. Why did I put the lament there instead of all the other Psalm of Ascent? Why did I put it in 2021? And then once I put it in 2021, why did I give the first verse the numerical value of 2220, which is the ultimate voice of God? So why did I do that? So it's like I'm doing all these things to show people this is about to happen. Repent. Come to Christ. Stop playing with your Christianity. Repent. Humble yourselves before God. So all of these signs that God has given us. So the Lord said, I did it in Deuteronomy. I did the same thing in Psalms. I'm showing you in the sign sky. So what else more is God going to be able to do for people to show them this is about to happen? It became oh so overwhelming. I had to call the lady aside and say, hey, I need you to look at this video. This is what's about to happen. And she said, oh, me and some of the girls at work, we were talking about that. So now someone says, so Pastor Sandy, you're setting a date. You're the ultimate sin. Like, no, I'm showing you what God shows me, and I'm showing you. Okay, I could easily say, but what I need to tell you is this: it's not my son's wedding.
Right.
You understand? I can guess, and I can look at intelligent information that's been given to give you when I think it is, but it's not my son's wedding. So I can, through all the calculations of everything, figure it out that Pastor Ben's daughter's going to get married on, what's your birthday?
March
7th. On March 7th, because Pastor Ben's birthday is on March 7th. It's on a Saturday this year. And Pastor Ben, it's just a perfect day. I think it's going to be that day. And then Pastor Ben says, yeah, but that's not the day I planned it. So I can't call another man's son's wedding date. You understand? But what I can do is give you the biblical information that God has given us to know that you're in the rapture season, to know what God is doing, to put all of these signs together and to just pass the day and go, well, I just did it to trick you guys so that you could, so you have something to do.
Something to do.
Because I'm just trying to tell you guys, it's overwhelming. It's over
overwhelming that I could go through the first five books and put in this year 5782, and every numerical value is either the Holy Spirit, the 153 fish, or 888 Jesus in the first five books of the Bible. To me, that's like, if you don't put this year, none of it works out. If you don't put 2021, none of it works out. So what are we doing? Are people just sitting around saying, oh, well, here comes another day. It'll come and go. And then, but look, this is the word of God. Every year was not going to go by without being in Israel on the planet.
That's right.
Do you understand that? Every year was not going to go by without Jerusalem being back in the possession of Israel. It had to be fulfilled. So that means Psalm 47 had to be fulfilled. Someday, all the kings of the earth are going to meet and make a decision about the people of Abraham. 1947.
Yep.
Psalms 47. So as God is fulfilling prophecy and saying, I'm watching over my word to make sure that everything is fulfilled, we're sitting here saying, well, it probably won't happen this time. You know who we are? We're a bunch of Katrina. Let's hang in there and see what happened, people.
Uh-huh.
Nationwide is on your side.
Yeah.
Right? You get a warning, you prepare to get out, right?
10 minutes, Pastor.
So I'm just trying to tell people, look, 2004, we started the church. I have never been overwhelmed with so many things that are headed to the same place. Never before. This is like unprecedented. I've had maybe, because of this and this and that, and then, you know, we'll see. But this is just overwhelming. Everything is landing on the same date. The Suleiman prophecy, 1538, to 2021, that's the 483 years that the king is supposed to appear. What? The king is supposed to appear in the 483rd year after the Suleiman decree, and that's 2021? And God did it before with Nehemiah, and Jesus arrived on the 10th of Nisan in the 483rd year, just like he said he would? What I'm doing is saying, I don't care how much information you show me, I'm still not going to believe. But the world's about to enter into this.
Yeah, it is.
It's about to enter into this. Young lady was, I went to go get gas for Paris's car this morning, and I gave her $30, and I looked at her and I said, thank you, that's $30, right? She said, yeah. I said, give me 3 gallons. She started cracking up. She said, it's crazy, isn't it? She's like, you know, that wouldn't even been funny years ago, but now it's like, that's about what you get, $3, you know what I mean? We get about 3 gallons for about that much. And I was joking when I got out there, I got 4.8 gallons, $30. I got 4.8, I didn't even reach the 5 gallons. And Revelation chapter 6 says more inflation is coming.
Yeah.
Revelation chapter 6 says the war is coming.
It is.
We're watching it. Israel's now getting attacked. So, what I try to do at home is not think about what's going to happen in the world. I try to think about what God has for us. Because I remember reading in the book of Esdras, and God was explaining, or the angel Uriel was explaining to Ezra the prophet. Do you think God is concerned about all the materials of the earth? Some of them he's not concerned with. He says, you know, gold is worth more than silver, and God is here for the gold. Silver is worth more than bronze. God is only here for the gold. Bronze is worth more than steel, and God is only here for the gold. You understand? So don't think that, like Jesus said, he ended it with Jesus' quote, not many people are saved. God is looking for people who have his spirit, who are walking in relationship with him. He's here looking for gold. You understand? So this is not a religion that you can play all kinds of little games with. I'm going to read one more thing if I have 5 minutes, Pastor Ben. I want us to go to James. And I just read this today, and I was like, listen to this, chapter 2 of James. It says, my brother, as a believer in our glorious Lord and Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing gold, silver, and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here, a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, stand there, or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brother. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you to court? Are they not the ones who slander the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as a lawbreaker. For whosoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles in just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. But if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to everyone who has been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That was my question to God. God, how are you going to save all of these people? What about people who had these problems in their families and they never had the opportunity to accept Christ? And God says, nobody will be in hell that don't deserve to be in hell. Nobody will be in heaven that don't deserve to be in heaven. And I know something that you don't know. As the judge of the whole world, mercy overrides judgment. And he says, so don't worry about who's lost and who's found. Lord, pray for my mercy over my creation. But don't you become like other people, thinking that your faith, you don't have to do anything. It's just your faith. Show me your faith with no works, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You understand? We're supposed to. The rest of that chapter speaks about this. This walk is not just about saying, I believe. Because if you read the rest of it, he says even demons say that they believe in God, and he says they tremble. So just saying that you believe he exists is not it. So he says it must be accompanied by what you do. Was not Abraham justified by what he did. What if Abraham would have said, I believe in you, God, you're the man, but I ain't taking my son to get sacrificed nowhere.
Right.
He says, by him doing it, he was justified as being righteous because his actions showed that he had faith.
Yes.
And God said, let your lifestyle be the proof
yes.
that you have faith. Once saved, always saved is going to kill a lot of people. And you're trying to go into a courtroom to get mercy. See, I don't. I'd rather go in knowing I got the proof that I'm innocent. I don't want to go into a courtroom like, well, I hope he's merciful. You know what I mean? Even though mercy overrides judgment, I want to go into court assured that not only have I accepted Christ, but my lifestyle looked like what I was confessing. Yeah. You understand?
Amen.
It's about to happen, you guys. It's about to happen. I don't even know what to say, but it's about to happen. And the world is going to see, and the world is going to hear. And I hope it happens like Ezra says, because he says the whole world will hear it and be terrified. I want them to be terrified. You know why? I want them to know it was God. I want them to know what happened. I don't want a secret rapture, because they can. You can lie about that.
Right.
But Ezra says, no, it's gonna be another. There's no secret quiet rapture. The whole world will hear the trumpet blast and be terrified. And it says they won't see you again until you return with the king. Praise God.
Amen. Amen.
According to John, it's going to sound like a trumpet.
But we'll hear a voice.
Everybody's going to hear a trumpet. But
We're going to hear a command. We're going to hear like, huh? Oh, yeah. We're going to hear like a sheep would hear the shepherd. You know what I mean? Only we know his voice. Oh, yeah, you got to pray something. Beth Luke feeling real good today. She got her hair done. She came in here tossing. She came in here tossing today. She was like, hey, Pastor.
Oh, just happy.
I'm back. Glad to be. Praise God. Pray us out.
Let's pray. Oh, marvelous Father. We thank you, Lord, for your beautiful message, Lord, that you always bring to us through Pastor Sandy. Thank you, Lord, for having us good parents and to always look up to you, Lord. And as we prepare, Lord, we pray for our families, our friends, acquaintances, Lord. Help us to be bold in sharing with you. Help us to carry ourselves right outside there, Lord, and still bring people to your kingdom, Lord. Help us to bring people. We pray, Lord, that you will give us wisdom and discernment and the voice to usher some people, Lord, who doesn't know you too.
Amen.
Make use of us, Lord, in this last days.
Amen.
And help us to be faithful watchmen, Lord, and to continually bring forth your word to others. Make use of us, Lord. And as we all go home tonight, Lord, guide us and be with us, Lord, and continually anoint Father. And the whole church and the whole membership, Lord. And we pray for each and every one of us. The ones who are online and especially the ones who are here, Lord. Thank you for everything, Lord. And we are so excited to see you soon, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Amen. Oh, you made Jesus laugh.
I know.
You made Jesus laugh. The Lord's like, oh, she did it.